The on-the-air radio players bring you A Night of Suspense.
What an evening for a ride through the woods. The crisp autumn breeze, the changing leaves glowing in the sunset,
and the Halloween Harvest Festival.
Ooh, here's the turn.
Shady Hollow State Forest?
Yep.
This is the way to the festival.
It's a few miles longer than the highway, but a much nicer drive.
You're taking the scenic route, aren't you? I thought we were running behind.
The traffic's much better this way. No stoplights. And, well, if it is more scenic, I think it might be a bit more romantic for our date.
Oh, Frank, it is nice. Even if it is getting dark. So, tell me again about the festival.
I've been going to this farm since I was a kid. It's got everything you could want. A corn maze, warm spiced apple cider, kettle corn, hay rides through the pumpkin patch, and a big bonfire.
And the Halloween costume contest, right?
I'm not driving around dressed as a giant pumpkin for nothing. Thanks again for helping to make the costumes.
It was worth it. This certainly is a windy road. You said the rain was supposed to hold off, right?
I think.
Oh, no phone reception. It's almost top of the hour. Maybe we can get weather forecast on the radio.
Nothing but dead air on this one.
The hillsides must be blocking the signal.
Will be joining us to discuss the implication of the drought on predicted crop yield. But first, Gordon Miller with the Agricultural Report.
And that's the end of the spectrum.
Try the other one again.
Still nothing on.
Touch that dial if you dare.
I won't.
Coming up. The Hour of Chills, classic tales of suspense and mystery, sure to stand your hair on end.
No weather there. I guess we're out of luck. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. What about you?
I think we lost a tire. A total blowout. It's like it was slashed by something.
I guess we should get out the spare.
Funny. About that, all I have is a patch kit.
So we're stuck?
Looks like it. The main road can't be more than a few miles back if we want to go for help.
It'd be a scenic walk. If it weren't dark and foggy, I can hardly see 100 feet.
Hello?
Hello?
Any alternatives?
We could just stay in the car until someone drives by. And listen to the radio in the meanwhile.
Really? You'd want to listen to a creepy radio drama?
I grew up listening to old radio shows. And what can be better when you're trapped in the woods on a Halloween night?
All right. Sounds like a plan to me.
Welcome to the Hour of Chills, classic tales of suspense and horror. They say that no news is good news. Tonight we bring you two tales of intrepid reporters who find that getting the scoop and digging for the dirt, they may have dug themselves into a hole, 1 6 feet deep. For our first story, we must ourselves go into the bowels of the earth to reach the seedy underbelly of the big city. We descend down, down into the dark and drafty corridor, until at the end we reach an old and barren door.
Good evening, friends.
I'm your host, welcoming you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Slither in, won't you? Sorry, the place is such a mess. I'll sweep it up later. Those are just chips off the old block. I've been doing my bone work. Oh, didn't I tell you? Sure, I'm going back to skull this term. All cozy now? Ready to swing along with us for a while? Good. After all, this is a newspaper story. If you feel a little cold as we go on, it's only because we have a story to tell you.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, Death of a Doll, was written by Fred Matho and stars Mason Adams in the role of Will and Ted Osborne as Beau Cousins.
This is the story of Willie Harper and the Devil, and how Willie, on his first assignment for the Morning Blade, finds himself at 2 a.m, sweating nervously in the murky shadows of a riverfront street in the lower city. Willie has a gun in his pocket and a doll that belongs to a dead girl tucked under his arm. A block away, leaning against the street lamp, impassive, grotesque, ape-like, the Devil waiting for Willie.
I keep saying this is 1948, and I keep saying this is Manhattan, and I keep saying that whether you believe in the devil or not, you don't meet him until you're dead. But believe me, that's the devil over there under that lamp. At 3 o'clock, he's coming for me. Sure, you've got a right to think I'm crazy, standing around waiting to be killed with a doll underneath my arm. This all started 10 days ago, around 5 p.m. at the city morgue. McGrundy, the night editor, sent me there on my first assignment. The morgue, he said, was a good place. He said to start there for stories.
Looks like you might be in luck soon.
How's that?
Come around the table. What's your name?
Will Harper.
All right, Willie. Come down to the coolers with me. Unless I'm very wrong, I've got a story in there for you. The girl in locker number 7, been here 4 days. Tomorrow we close the case on her.
What does that mean, Mr. Jackson?
It means in spite of everything the police have been able to do, they can't find out her name, where she lived, or anyone who knew her.
How was she found?
Tugboat crew fished her out of the East River. Tomorrow, she goes to the city burial grounds in a plain box marked Jane Doe.
That's horrible. Just dying and nobody to... Do you think she was murdered?
There's not a mark on her. Please say she wasn't. But I want you to look at her face and tell me what you think. This is Jane Doe, see? Now, this is where they have her. I want you to see her face, Willie. Tell me what you see in it.
A strange emotion shook me. She didn't seem dead to me. Her skin was perfect ivory. Her hair was fine-spun copper. Her lips twisted slightly. I blushed and turned away, imagining to myself what those lips must have looked like with life's color in them. Jackson led me back to his office without speaking. As I lit a shaky cigarette, he fished a brown paper bag out of his desk. He handed it to me, tilting it forward as he did so.
Mama!
What the devil?
Yeah, when they pulled her out, she was clutching this doll close to her. Even the doll hasn't helped trace her. The police are through with it.
Mr. Jackson, you'll think I'm nuts, but I suddenly feel sore, boiling mad. I don't know why, but I think she was murdered. The look on her face.
Kind of asked you to help?
Yeah.
A dead girl nobody wants, and a doll. There's your story, Willie. Too bad you didn't know her before.
Huh. Yeah, thanks.
Here, take the doll along with you.
Beat it back to the paper on fire to do a story about the dead girl and a doll. As I gave McGrundy my report, he stared at me. When I got through, he had a sort of twisted grin on his face, sort of know-it-all. He grunted and tilted the paper-wrapped doll forward.
Mama!
Think she was murdered, huh?
Yeah.
The cops don't think so.
No.
They're closing her case tomorrow.
Yep.
No clues, facts, or anything outside of this doll?
None.
All right, Harper. I'll give you another day to find the nasty character who did this horrible thing. Cops have been wrong before. Go ahead.
Thanks. I'll get a story.
Take your dolly along and keep falling for the dead ones, Harper. You'd be better off.
Now I know I resented that crack of McGrundy's. He must have guessed before I did that I'd fallen in love with the girl in the morgue. Half hour later, disgusted with my own morbidity, I went to my room before going out to eat. Slammed the door and tossed the doll onto a chair.
Mama!
I couldn't shake the feeling that the nameless girl in the morgue had something to say to me. If only the doll could talk. If only she could tell me about her. What was she like? Was her voice soft? Was she kind? Who was cruel to her? Where did she live? Who killed her doll? Who?
Mama!
I grinned sheepishly at myself in the mirror. With that gesture, this story really begins. The next few moments remained electrifyingly vivid. I had set the doll down on the bureau. I didn't touch it. Wasn't even looking at it when a new sound came from it. I stared at the crumpled, ridiculous little fool, almost afraid to touch it again, but I had to. I picked it up and tilted it limply.
Kara Nana!
Kara Nana. That was what I had heard, a sound? A sound only? No. Somehow I thought it was more than a sound, a name. Maybe a name, half because I didn't want to stay alone with the doll any longer, and half on a hunch. I stuffed the doll back in its bag and went back to the paper. I went straight to the reference room files, the doll stuffed under my arm.
What are you looking for?
I want to know if you've got anything in the files on someone named Kara Nana, spelled with a K or a C.
Huh.
What's funny? You seem amused.
Don't tell me he's around again. If you've got a lead on Kara Nana, you've got some story.
Oh? Will you get me the clips on him?
I'll get you Myers Anthropology. I'm sure he's in there.
Anthropology? Why? Who is he?
The devil.
Kara Nana, of course. An almost forgotten myth from Asia. Lucifer on Earth, wearing out one body after another, always walking the Earth. I remember it now from college. I decided on a long walk down Fifth Avenue, my head whirling with a maddening conflict. I think I would have given up the whole thing then, but always at the point of going home to bed or chucking the blasted doll in a can. The face of the girl in the morgue blanked out other thoughts. When I reached Washington Square, it was dusk. The sidewalk artists were packing up their canvases as I passed them. All but one, that is. He was a tall, angular man with a completely bald head. His four or five paintings had the advantage of a streetlight. The man paid no attention to me until, at the sight of one painting, I stiffened in utter shock.
What's the matter, friend? The stuff that bad?
That one. The one with the girl.
Woman with a doll, I call it. You like it?
Who's the girl? Do you know her? Tell me.
Hey, sorry, I'm selling oil paintings, friend. I'm not a dating bureau.
No, no, no. You've got me all wrong. I've got a good reason for asking. Look, I'll prove it. Here. Isn't this the doll you painted with the girl?
Where'd you get that? I haven't seen Hazel in a week. She left for the coast. I gave her that doll to pose with. What's wrong?
Hazel is dead.
Dead? Where is she?
If I tell you, will you promise to say nothing for a while? I'm a reporter for The Blade. My name is Will Harper.
I won't say anything unless I believe you had something to do with it. Where is she?
I'll take you to her. She's at the city morgue. An hour later, we came out of the morgue. Old Cousins had simply nodded at my questioning look. Seeing the girl again, knowing her name now added to the emotions I already felt for her. I had a sudden impulse as we stood in the street. I handed the artist Hazel's doll.
Are you giving me the doll?
No. No, I want it back. But I want you to tilt it. Make it cry.
Kara! Nana! Kara!
did that sound like to you? What did you hear?
The doll said, Kara Nana.
You heard it too. Say it again. Say that name again. What did you hear the doll say?
I distinctly heard it say, Kara Nana.
Then I'm not crazy. And do you know who Kara Nana is, Mr. Cousins?
I'm afraid I do. It's the most fantastic coincidence I've ever encountered.
Why?
Do you know who Kara Nana is?
The devil? Lucifer? Satan?
Quite. Look, I think it'd be better if we go to my place and talk this out. Certainly, if what I think is true, then no one will believe us.
What do you think?
That Hazel was murdered by Kara Nana.
I followed Bo Cousins silently along the dark streets of the lower city. His long legs led us finally to a dingy, narrow, fish-foul street where we climbed an outside stair to a warehouse.
You're in love with her, aren't you? An amazing circumstance to be in love with someone you met too late.
I could have loved her, yes.
I met her at the Mission House. Conceived the idea of painting her with a doll. Somehow that seemed right to me.
Go on.
Well, we worked here for 3 weeks on the painting. I paid her enough that she could go to California, a dream of hers. One night as we walked the streets nearby, Kara Nana appeared.
Kara Nana?
Yeah, Kara Nana, or a man who calls himself Kara Nana. The devil, or the human form of the devil, however you choose to think.
There can't be such a thing. The devil is just a myth.
Is he? I met him in Istanbul 8 years ago in a cafe. I did a painting of him.
What's he like?
Squat, massive man, ape-like. As I painted him, he admitted to me such crimes I could hardly hold my brush.
Like what?
He made his living as a professional murderer. Very discreetly, very cleverly, very effectively.
Why didn't you turn him in?
Oh, really, now? I like to paint and to live. He was so pleased with the picture I made and gave him, he told me any time I needed to rid myself of some embarrassing person, he'd be around.
Lucky you. But who'd believe that story?
We do, Willie, and that's the important thing. Hey, do you have any spare cash?
Why?
Well, I got about $150. If you can make up the difference, I think we could claim Hazel's body and give the child a decent burial.
I fixed it up with Jackson at the morgue. At 3 that afternoon, Bo Cousins and I, plus 2 grave diggers in the city cemetery, were watching a bright new casket being lowered into a new grave.
Man that is born of woman hath but a short time to live and is full of misery. He cometh up and is cut down like a flower. He fleeth as it were a shadow and never continueth in one stay. In the midst of life, we are in death.
Thanks, Bo.
I liked her too, Willie, very much. You're a nice guy, Willie. Wouldn't you rather go now?
No. Let's wait until she's covered over. I want to talk to you. I've just gotten an idea. I know how to get Kara Nana.
And I'll be very glad to see you're buried next to Hazel here.
I see things a lot clearer now that Hazel has a name and a pass for me. If there is a man named Kara Nana, as you say, I think he's human, and that's an even chance.
Well, maybe Kara Nana isn't the one.
And I'll find out. In any case, do you want to help?
Well, in any way, short of being discreetly disposed of, yeah.
Swell. Kara Nana said he'd do a little job for you whenever you wanted him to, right?
Yeah.
Then you get in touch with him and...
Oh, sorry, Willie. My merchant of death is unreachable. He shows up only when he wants to.
All right. I'll wait. But when he does, you've got a murder for him to do.
I have? Who?
Me. That was a week ago. An exciting week for me, covering all sorts of stuff in the paper. I had begun thinking that Bo Cousins was an imaginative phony. Even my editor, McGrundy, had stopped kidding me about Hazel's doll perched on my desk. Then this morning at 9:30, I got a call. Morning, Blade. Willie Harper here.
Greetings and farewell, Willie. This is Bo Cousins.
Oh, what's up?
The devil's in town, Willie. He wants to see you.
Kara Nana?
Yeah, saw him last night. He was delighted to help me get rid of you.
I see.
I told him you were a reporter planning a story about art, which tore my work to pieces. What's the matter, Willie? You change your mind?
No. Did he say where?
He never lets his clients in on the details, but he did say I'd be rid of you by 3 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Bo. I'll be seeing you.
Quite seriously, Willie, I hope so. Remember, bullets don't work on some things. Goodbye.
So long. By 3 this morning, he said. I didn't know where, exactly when, or if I could get the drop on the devil and force the truth about Hazel out of him. I stuffed the doll into a bag and started out, but McGrundy caught me.
Harper.
Yeah?
A woman shot through the back of the head playing solitaire at 147 Parkway North. Husband with her. Go out on it. Phone it in.
Right. When I hit the lobby downstairs, an unaccountable chill got me in the small of the back. Something made me stop short and turn around. It was my first look at Kara Nana. He was leaning against a phone booth, a heavyset, ill-shaped man whose arms sloped weirdly from his neck into a heavy stump. He was eyeing me impassively. The game was on, I knew. I grabbed a cab to get my story just the same. I phoned the stuff in from the cigar store across the street. When I stepped out of the booth, Kara Nana had just bought some cigarettes. He turned to me as I froze, waiting.
Some murder across the street, huh?
Yeah. How'd you know?
I get around.
Murder a hobby of yours, mister?
No, it's strictly business. So long.
That's the kind of thing that went on all day. McGrundy kept me on the hop. No matter where I went, Kara Nana was there ahead of me. This afternoon, I got to my room long enough to pick up my Luger pistol and the license I had to carry it. He was waiting for me when I came out.
Better put it on your inside coat pocket. It shows on your hip. I'll be seeing you.
It's 3:15 now. 15 minutes. He hasn't moved from under that lamppost in 2 hours. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting another minute. I'm going to meet the devil and have it done with. He doesn't move. Will a bullet do it? Can I trick him into admitting Hazel's murder? Or will he kill me first? Well, here I am.
Yeah, I see. What can I do for you?
It's almost 3:00.
Oh, you know, you're right. Time sure flies. Well, time for me to get on home, I guess. So long, Willie.
It's a trick. A fiend's trick. He's leaving me with only a few minutes to go. I've got to stop this. I can't go through with it. I'll go to Bo's place. I'll tell him to call it off. I don't want to die.
Willie!
Bo, I was running to your place.
I thought you might be down this way. You look scared to death, and you should be, I guess.
I've got to hide, Bo. Let's beat it somewhere. It's almost 3.
All right. Quick, across the street, Willie. There's a broken-down pier there. It's dark here, Willie. We'll be safe for a while. You've certainly worked yourself up. Is that the doll there?
Yeah. I don't know why I carried it.
Well, I'm glad you did. You got your gun with you?
Yeah, and my Luger.
Well, let me have it. You're too wrought up.
Here.
Good. Now be still a moment.
Huh. It's 3:00.
Yeah, 3:00. It's time for us to part.
What do you mean?
You're not a very astute person, are you, Willie?
Why?
Well, maybe Hazel's doll can tell you.
You? No, Bo, this is crazy.
The same water that received Hazel is at your back, Willie. The time is 3, and tomorrow you'll be fished out with the doll under your arm.
Your Kara Nana.
Quite. Farewell, Willie. Hazel, poor sweet child, learned the same truth by accident.
You dirty, filthy.
Kara Nana.
Farewell, Willie. You can take your...
Drop him! I said drop him!
No, I will not! Kara Nana never dies.
How's the head feel now, Willie?
Better, Mr. McGrundy. My professional pride hurts more.
Well, it didn't. You followed through like an old-timer. Didn't he, Inspector McShay?
Yeah, he'll do.
How could I have taken you for the devil, Inspector McShay?
I've been called worse.
How did you know where I was going to be through all that? Where I was going to be in the end?
Well, I cover the morgue, Willie. When a young guy decides to claim a corpse, it's time to follow up on it. You seemed okay, but Cousins turned out to be wanted as a professional killer.
So you tagged me to get to him?
Yeah, he was after you. There's no doubt about it. Oh, here's your doll, Willie.
Yeah. Huh. I tilt the doll, and nothing happens. No sound.
Must be broke.
I guess she doesn't have to speak anymore, Mr. McGrundy. I think the doll is dead.
Hey, psst. Wanna buy a doll? Hmm? I'll sell it to you, but there'll be the devil to pay. Take a tip from Willie Harper. There is no romance at the morgue. You'll only find cold, hard figures. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a date with Hazel's doll. She promised to help me in a grave situation. I've just got to dig up something for next week's show. I think if we work hard enough, we'll turn something up, don't you? Good night. Pleasant dreams.
And now a word from our sponsor.
If you want your teeth to glow and gleam, try Tux toothpaste, it's scarily clean.
It's Halloween time again. That means kids dressing up in fiendish costumes and going out door to door trick-or-treating. And the scarier they're dressed, the more candy the little imps are likely to bring home. But with all the candy can come something even scarier. Tooth decay. All that sugar makes proper tooth care essential. So, whether you're dressed as a witch or a werewolf, Tux toothpaste leaves you looking and feeling like a millionaire. When you brush with Tux, your smile looks like a million bucks. Try some today.
If you want your teeth to glow and gleam, try Tux toothpaste, it's scarily clean.
You are listening to The Hour of Chills. We now take a break for station identification. This is WTRAP.
Right. There is a lot less traffic on this road. Not a single car since we've gotten stuck.
I guess everyone is out trick-or-treating or at parties or TP.
Or at the Harvest Festival.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry for all this.
Oh, no, Frank, don't be. I'm having a good time.
You mean that?
Yeah. Turn back up the radio.
Last seen driving a stolen vehicle. Though believed to be unarmed, he is highly dangerous. If you see this man, do not approach him. Repeat, do not approach him, and notify the nearest authorities.
Thank you, Sheriff. And now back to our regularly scheduled programming here on WTRAP.
What was that all about?
No description or anything. It could be a madman or an escaped convict.
Or a clown.
In all this fog, I think we're better staying where we are. And the way you're dressed. A bright orange target.
This pumpkin doesn't want to get carved up.
Then let's finish the show.
We now return you to the Hour of Chills, classic tales of suspense. Our last story showed that evil can lurk in any corner. If the big city is too devilish for you, then perhaps a trip is in order. A trip through the countryside, back to the olden days, when times were simpler and more innocent. One often hears about the vivid autumn foliage in New England. Join us as we travel back to the end of the 19th century and visit the quaint Massachusetts town of Fall River. What could be sinister about that?
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight we bring you transcribed a story of what might have happened in the famous Lizzie Borden case. We call it Goodbye, Miss Lizzie Borden. So now, starring Paula Winslow, Virginia Gregg, and Irene Tedrow, here is tonight's suspense play, Goodbye, Miss Lizzie Borden.
Oh, now what did I do with my purse? Oh, there it is. Oh, dear, I know I've forgotten something.
Is that everything, ma'am?
Huh? Oh, yes. Just the two suitcases. What are you doing with that trunk, Expressman? There isn't any trunk, only the two bags. I'm only going for a short visit.
I was told
that... It's my trunk, Miss Emma. I'm leaving.
Oh, Maggie.
It's all right, Expressman. You can take the trunk on out.
Yes, ma'am.
Maggie, you can't. I
can't help it. I'm sorry. I really am. But I can't stand it another minute.
Oh, dear. They all leave. They always do. Oh, what are we going to do? I mean, I just don't...
I'm sorry, Miss Emma. I've only stayed this long for your sake. I couldn't bear to leave you alone with her.
Thank you, Maggie.
Now, you'll be off on your little vacation, and she'll have somebody else in the kitchen, maybe, before you come back.
Oh, dear, Maggie. What shall we do? What are we going to do?
I can't stand it, Miss Emma. I never feel alone in this house. I'm cleaning about, thinking no evil, and then I get a shiver between me shoulder blades, and I turn around, and there she is, perfectly still, just looking at me, with that look she's had since the trial. It's more than a body can stand, and I'm leaving you.
I know, Maggie. She's always spying. She knows every move I make. I know.
And never a party. No callers. Not a friend to drop in of an evening. It's like a house of death.
It is a house of death. I can't stand it any more than you can. That's why I'm going down to Fairhaven. I can't stand being cooped up with her any longer.
Then you know what I mean, Miss Emma.
Have you told her?
No, no. If you want to know the truth, I was afraid to say anything. I thought I might get my trunk away with your things before she knew.
Where is she?
Upstairs.
Well, you better hurry then. Goodbye, Maggie.
Goodbye, Miss. I'm sorry, and don't miss your train.
Oh, I won't. I have a half an hour yet, and it isn't as if there wasn't another one soon after, you know.
Well, I know you, Miss Emma. Don't miss them both now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Maggie. Oh, what am I going to do?
Miss Lizzie?
Miss Borden is out.
Oh, dear, why can't they leave us in peace? Oh, now, what did I do with my gloves? I wonder what time it is. Maggie! Oh, she's gone. Oh, dear, Lizzie will be furious. Who is it? Who is it?
Miss Borden.
Oh, no, no, no. No, you can't come in. My sister won't see you. Now, please take your shoe out of the...
So this is the scene of the crime.
Oh, please, please.
Corpse just... found there.
No, my sister, she won't...
Blood spattered all over the walls. Had them repapered, haven't you?
Oh.
Nice, happy pattern, too. Ah, this is the picture, isn't it? The one that had 46 blood spots on it. You're Miss Lizzie Borden, I presume.
Oh, no, no, I'm not.
I must say you're not what I expected. Out west where I come from, a woman's tough. When she's tough, she's tough. Now, Miss Lizzie, I'm here to...
I am not Miss Lizzie. I am Miss Emma.
Oh, the sister. Well, that accounts for it. Miss Emma, this is the anniversary of the Second Street murders, isn't it? It's just a year since Mr. and Mrs. Borden were murdered by...
Since my father and stepmother died. We don't talk about it.
I missed your sister's trial. Some old girl, I heard.
She was acquitted. We don't talk about it.
No, of course not. But the public is interested, you know. Now, I'm from Cripple Creek, Colorado, Miss Emma. Greatest town on earth. Pick up gold right on the streets. I represent the Cripple Creek Record, and I'm here to get some impressions for my paper. Second Street Revisited and all that.
Oh, you're one of those nasty female reporters. Oh, Lizzie hates reporters. She won't listen to you for a minute.
Oh, well. Hey, isn't that a picture of Pike's Peak on the wall?
Oh, yes. It's quite artistic, isn't it? Uncle Morris brought it back to me from the gold fields. It's all he brought back. He painted it himself.
Now, isn't that a coincidence? I'm from Pike's Peak gold fields myself.
Oh.
Morse. Is your Uncle Morse an old codger, 60-ish maybe, with
a droopy mustache?
That's it, a droopy mustache, and then sort of a
tall and thin? Oh, my goodness, do you know Uncle Morse?
I should say I do. I knew him well in Cripple Creek. How is the old coyote? Put her there, Miss Emma. Any niece of old man Morse is a friend of mine.
Oh, how do you do? Won't you sit down, Miss...
Nellie Cutts. You can just call me Nellie. Now, as I was saying, I represent the Cripple Creek Record, and I'm on kind of a roving commission to report how things are on this side of the range. And listen, this Borden story's got everything. New England old maid, Sunday school teacher, and all that. Just as a story, you know. Color. She ups and kills half the family with an axe. Interview with Miss Lizzie Borden a year after. Great stuff.
She won't
see
you.
They would eat it up and trickle.
Lizzie won't see you. I know that.
Well, how about a word from you, the sister? How does it feel, Miss Emma, to live day in and day out within the sights of the very bloodstains, as you might say? How does it feel to take meals with the woman who was tried for the crime?
Oh, I've stood it as long as I can. That's why I'm going to Fairhaven. I can be alone in Fairhaven.
Must have been pretty tough on the nerves this last year. I guess Miss Lizzie'd be difficult to live with, huh?
Shh. She hears. She's always listening and spying. She never leaves me alone. Oh, dear, I mustn't miss the 3:37. Oh, what time is it?
Oh, you won't miss it. It's only a quarter of.
Oh, my watch says 10 of.
Well, you know, I set mine at the station just before
Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Oh, go away, you naughty child! Go away!
What was that? She gave her father 41. Oh, how does that begin?
Oh, stop it! Stop it! Do you hear me? Stop it!
Oh, this is classic. Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her father 41.
Oh, please, please don't. She hears every word you say down here. Her room is right up there.
Right up there, huh? But she wasn't up there after her father was being murdered, was she? She was in the barn eating pears, she says. Now, Miss Emma, just sit down a minute, please. Is it true that on the morning of the murders, the breakfast consisted of bananas, cookies, and cold mutton soup?
I don't know. I wasn't here. I was at Fairhaven.
Cold mutton soup in August? No wonder somebody committed murder. Well, now, Miss Emma, your stepmother was found upstairs with her head battered in with an axe.
That's right.
And your father's body was on the sofa here, like this.
Oh, don't!
Miss Lizzie spread the alarm. The front door was triple locked, and Miss Lizzie was watching the side door. So she says. She was watching from the upper barn window, just standing there eating a pear and looking out. So she says. How could anyone outside have done it? How could they escape right under her eyes if Miss Lizzie wasn't lying?
My sister was acquitted.
Beats me how they acquitted her.
Blood.
Hmm?
Blood. Whoever did it was covered with blood.
Well, what about it?
Everybody saw Lizzie within 10 minutes of the crime, and she hadn't a spot of blood on her. The biggest professors at Harvard tried to find blood on her clothes. There wasn't any. That's why they had to acquit her.
Tell me, Miss Emma, did you look carefully at Miss Lizzie to see if there was any blood on her, her hair perhaps, or her shoes?
Certainly not, my own sister! Besides, I didn't see Lizzie till I got back from Fairhaven that night.
Maybe she used an apron, One of those big coveralls.
They never found one.
Easy enough to hide a thing like that in your own house. They never found the axe either, did they?
No, they never found the axe. I often wonder where it got to.
They searched the house?
Yes, they searched.
They took up the carpets, didn't they? Did they search the chimney?
Of course they did.
Did they open the flue?
No, we wouldn't have them tearing up the house.
Oh, I'd tear it up. Loose brick here. Wouldn't be hard.
Oh, Lizzie wouldn't have it. Everything's Lizzie's now. Lizzie's and mine.
Miss Emma, excuse me, but is there any insanity in your family?
Certainly not. That's the first thing they started asking. Oh, they asked ever so many questions about Uncle Morse.
Good old Uncle Morse. He arrived for a visit, didn't he, just the day before the murders?
Yes, and they were awful about Uncle Morse. They kept asking people if he was quite right in the head, just because he doesn't work steady anyplace, but sort of drifts around. Oh, it made me terribly angry. Uncle Morse is as sane as I am.
Where was he the morning of the murders?
Visiting around. He had a perfect alibi. It was just humiliating the way they snooped around about everybody. Where was Uncle Morse? Where was I?
Miss Emma, tell me about the kitten. They say the kitten was found down in the cellar, dead. It had been killed with an axe.
Oh, the kitten. The kitten was the hardest. I cried for a week. It brought on my neuralgia. I like kittens. Lizzie never cried at all. It was Lizzie's kitten. She's a hard woman.
Yes, well, now, Miss Emma, let's get back to the fatal day. Mrs. Borden is lying in her blood upstairs. The servant is downstairs. She hears Mr. Borden at the front door trying to get in. She goes to let him in. She finds the door is triple locked. She lets him in, and upstairs on the landing, she hears a horrible, gloating laugh. The murderer is standing up there, Miss Emma, and as she sees her second victim walk into her trap, she laughs.
It wasn't Lizzie. Lizzie was downstairs.
She changed her story. First, she said she was downstairs, then upstairs. She was lying. Well, in comes Mr. Borden and lies down for a nap right here on the sofa. The murderer covers herself with something, then creeps up on the old man with an axe from behind, like this, and brings down the axe again and again.
No.
Was it Miss Lizzie? Was it?
No, it wasn't Lizzie. It wasn't.
Emma. You talk too much, Emma.
You are listening to Goodbye, Miss Lizzie Borden, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
CBS Radio reminds you to do as Sparky the firefighting dog says, don't give fire a place to start. Be sure all cigarettes are out before discarding them. Clear your house of old newspapers, damaged furniture, and inflammable debris. Repair electrical wiring as soon as it shows signs of wear. These simple rules will help keep your valuables safe. They could even save your life. Don't gamble with fire. The odds are against you.
And now we bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Virginia Gregg, Irene Tedrow, and Paula Winslow, starring in tonight's production, Goodbye, Miss Lizzie Borden, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Lizzie, this lady's an old friend of Uncle Morse.
You're going to miss your train, Emma.
Oh, yes, Lizzie. Oh, dear, perhaps I should have called a cab. But it's only a step from here. Goodbye, Lizzie.
Goodbye. Emma?
Yes?
You forgot your gloves.
Oh, so I did. Thank you, Lizzie. Goodbye. Goodbye, miss.
I represent the Cripple Creek Record, Miss Lizzie.
A friend of Uncle Morse? What color hair has the old man got?
Gray.
Bald as an egg. Good day, miss.
Miss Borden, my paper wants an interview.
I don't give interviews.
Oh, just one question, Miss Lizzie. The blood-stained apron, where did it get to?
I have nothing to say.
And the bloody axe? Why wasn't the chimney back searched?
Good day, miss.
If you could just say one word for my paper, then I would be able to...
I suppose I'll have to hide them somewhere else now.
I missed the train.
You can catch the next one.
Lizzie, your apron and the axe. That's where they've been all the time.
Lock the door, Emma.
You hid them there after...
Yes. I was afraid Maggie would come down any minute. I hid them in the flue.
I always wondered where they got to. I wonder how they could search and never find them.
Father kept money behind that brick. He never knew I knew. And once he was dead, nobody knew about it but me.
Why did you do it?
There's a way, isn't there, to tell who's been handling a weapon?
I don't know. You've always been the clever one. I don't see any marks.
I don't either, but they say the police can. A Frenchman wrote a book about it. Besides, you bought the axe in Fairhaven. It has the store mark etched on the head.
Why, Lizzie, you knew. All the time.
I saw you. I saw you from the barn window. You came out the side door and stood looking around, and I saw your face. That was all I needed. You ran to the street, and I came in and found Father. It was my apron and the blood. You needn't have used my apron, Emma.
It was the handiest, Lizzie.
And you'd brought the axe from Fairhaven. I only had a minute. I hid them in Father's hiding place. They were safe until that newspaper snooper began to get ideas.
Why did you hide them, Lizzie?
What else could I do? I hated her too, Emma.
Oh, you don't remember our mother as I do. You couldn't have hated Mrs. Borden as much as I did.
But Father, why Father?
After what he did to Mother, marrying that woman so soon after? You were always soft over Father, Lizzie.
It's a relief, I suppose. Oh, time after time, I've wanted to ask you about things when they were asking me questions, cross-examining, keeping after me. Oh, I wanted so badly to know so I would know what to say, but I never dared ask you. They had spies about me all the time. I made so many mistakes. When they asked if I'd seen anybody leave the house, I was on my guard not to mention you, so I said no, nobody. So they decided it couldn't have been a stranger that did it. It must have been Lizzie. Oh, I ought to have said I saw the murderer leaving a big bearded man with a bloody axe. But I wasn't used to lying.
And when I went on the stand and told the truth that I hated her worse than you did, they were sure I was lying to cover you.
I had to lie about the laugh. I had to change my story and say I was up there laughing. Otherwise, they would have started asking who was laughing. Whose laugh sounds like Lizzie's?
Mine.
I haven't laughed since.
Neither have I.
I haven't laughed since I found my kitten dead.
Oh, Lizzie, having to kill the kitten was the hardest. It brought on my neuralgia. I cried for a week over the kitten.
I know you did.
I cried because I had to do it, Lizzie.
Oh, I should have understood then. After the kitten, I should have been on guard. You know, I was afraid at first they'd find out you'd been away from Fairhaven.
Oh, I prayed for guidance, Lizzie. All the time that I was in Fairhaven, I stayed in my room and prayed for guidance.
What's that got to do with it?
Why, don't you see? When the answer came to me, I just got the axe and started for Fall River. They thought I was still in my room.
What a risk that was.
Oh, no. No risk, Lizzie. My prayers for guidance were answered, don't you see? I was protected.
I protected you.
Why? I wonder why.
Oh, I don't know. Because I've always protected you, I suppose. Because I enjoyed having the laugh on everybody, maybe.
I never guessed. You had the laugh on me, didn't you, Lizzie?
Didn't you know I knew? Huh. No, of course you didn't.
What would you have done if they'd found you guilty?
Gone through with it, I suppose. I'd have gone through with it before I'd have given in to them.
I guess you would. You were always a wicked, stubborn thing.
Well, I used to get sick of it. The jail, reporters, examining, cross-examining. I'd get sick of it and think I'd had enough. I'd tell them now the truth. And then that prosecutor would come along with his pious face like a public statue. And the very thought of giving in and admitting I'd lied would make me say, no, I'll face it. They won't break me. And they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Besides, it would have been giving in for nothing. They wouldn't have believed me.
I suppose they wouldn't.
I used to wonder, if they found me guilty, what would you have done?
I used to wonder, too. But I had my guidance. I didn't let it worry me.
No, it didn't worry you. Me sitting there in court day after day, the crowd hating me.
I know, Lizzie.
Oh, how do you know? How do you know what I went through? The crowd staring, thinking I did it. The women who hiss at you at the courtroom door. They hate you. They want to see you dead. What do you know about it?
What do you know about it, Lizzie? You had the easy part. You didn't have to do it. I thought it would be like chopping wood. It isn't. Wood splits. The other strikes back. It stops you. The wood doesn't bleed, Lizzie. It doesn't fly, jump at you, the air filled with it.
I saw the walls.
You don't know. You don't know anything. You didn't have to do it. I didn't want to. Listen, there she is, Mrs. Borden, going up the stairs. I'll have to hurry.
Mrs. Borden's gone, Emma. She's been gone for a year.
No, she's upstairs. Don't stop me.
Put down the axe, Emma, and come with me.
Where?
Just across the street to see Dr. Bowen.
Oh, so you can shut me up? So you can put me away? I'll not be shut up, Lizzie. I wasn't meant to be shut up.
Just come and see Dr. Bowen.
No, he'll put me away. I'll not have it, Lizzie. I'll die first. Oh, but I don't have to die, do I? Nobody knows but you. I'm not the one to die.
Emma, what are you doing?
I'm putting on my apron. I just explained to you, Lizzie, blood spatters. You don't want me to spoil my best fingerling dress, do you?
Emma, listen to me. You have to go to Fairhaven. You'll miss the train. Emma? Emma!
It won't take long. It'll be over in a minute, Lizzie.
Emma, think what you're doing. You can't escape twice.
Oh, yes, I can. I do what I have to do, and the rest takes care of itself. I don't want to. You must understand that.
Emma, you don't have to.
Oh, yes. I knew as soon as I saw the axe. What else did you keep it for? I knew there was to be another.
But I kept it to protect you.
Oh, Lizzie, don't talk. It only makes it harder. Now, Lizzie!
Here, give it to me. Oh, that's better.
Miss Lizzie, can't you change your mind and give me a statement now that Miss Emma's gone? Oh, there you are, Miss Emma. You missed the train after all.
You don't have to talk through the window, miss. Take that thing off, Emma, and open the front door.
Well, good for you, Miss Lizzie.
Give me the apron, quick. I'll cover the axe with the newspaper. You be quiet. Now, open the door.
Oh, this is real nice of you, Miss Lizzie. Hot day. I hope we have rain. What's the weather forecast? What does the paper say?
Fair and warmer.
Oh, fair and warmer.
Now then, young woman, what do you want to know? Quickly, please.
Tell me, Miss Lizzie, the murder weapon. Was it ever found? What's your opinion? Where did it get to?
I think the murderer carried it away with him.
That's all you think?
That's all. Thank you very much.
Oh, but I'm not through. I have more
to say. I have nothing more to say. Miss Emma is leaving now. You can walk with her to the station.
Well, hey, isn't this the Providence Journal? I hear they put out a scorching editorial wanting to know why these murders are still unsolved.
Please don't! Emma, don't miss your train. Come along.
I'll send for my things, Lizzie.
Very well, Emma.
Goodbye, Lizzie.
Isn't she coming back?
What did you say?
Isn't she coming back?
No, she isn't coming back.
So that's the axe. Whole thing torn wide open now, huh? Will you give me a statement?
Certainly not.
Miss Emma thinks now you killed them, doesn't she? Did you, Miss Lizzie?
No. I didn't kill them.
Oh, come on. You've been acquitted. You can't be tried again.
I didn't do it.
Then who did it? It was somebody in the house. There's the murder weapon. If you didn't do it, who did it? Maggie? Miss Emma? Miss Emma! That's it! Miss Emma Borden. Why didn't I see it before?
Stop talking rubbish, young woman. I'll make a statement for you. I did it.
You killed them? You killed them both with an axe?
Yes.
Why? Why did you?
I don't like cold mutton soup.
What a scoop.
It isn't a scoop.
Why not?
It isn't a scoop if you can't print it, and I'll sue you if you print it. I've been acquitted in open court, my girl. I'm innocent, and don't you forget it. You print a word, and I'll sue. I've got $250,000, and I'll spend every cent of it defending my good name.
Good name? Everybody in Fall River knows you did it. You just admitted it yourself.
Never mind. Never mind what I admitted. Just you keep your tongue between your teeth. You're not going to print that story so you can tear up those notes of yours.
I certainly will not tear it up. I have a duty to my paper, to my readers, to...
I said tear it up.
You wouldn't.
Tear it up.
Of course, Miss Lizzie. Glad to oblige you. You can put down the axe. Thank you, Miss Lizzie, for your time. I'm just going.
Go on. Open the door. Go on.
Yes, of course. Thank you again. No wonder Miss Emma isn't coming back. Goodbye, Miss Lizzie.
Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when she saw what she had done, she gave her mother 41.
Suspense, in which Irene Tedrow, Paula Winslow, and Virginia Gregg starred in tonight's presentation of Goodbye, Miss Lizzie Borden. Next week, be sure to listen to radio's outstanding Theater of Thrills, Suspense. Suspense is produced and transcribed by Antoni Ellis. Tonight's script was written by Lillian Della Torre. Featured in the cast were Helen Glebe, Leonard Weinrib, and Richard Beals.
The reporters in our stories have learned that some tales are better left untold, and that is why we tell them to you. We hope they have left you with chills. It seems your time is up, with us at least. Thanks for listening, and have a haunted Halloween. This is WTRAP, signing off.
We've lost the signal. I'm sorry, Victoria. I had wanted to give you the perfect date, and...
No date's perfect, but I enjoyed it. Though, can we take my car on our next one?
Our next one? After all this, you still want to go out with me?
Of course, Pumpkinhead. Wait! I hear a car.
I can't see anything in this fog.
Look! A figure's coming towards us!
Could it be that guy in the news bulletin?
They said do not approach, but he's approaching us!
You there!
Who are you?
I'm Ranger Brad with Shady Hollow State Forest. Are you kids okay?
Forest Ranger! Oh, thank goodness.
Were you expecting someone else?
We heard on the radio about a manhunt.
Funny, I haven't heard a thing about it on my radio.
We had a flat tire and can't fix it.
Let me give you a lift. The front seat's full, so you'll have to get in the back.
If we hurry, we can still make it in time for the rest of the festival.
Victoria?
What?
Do you see that in the front seat, glinting in the moonlight?
Is that an axe?
and a chainsaw.
Oh, you kids and your imaginations. I'm a forest ranger. Of course I have an axe. Oh, I've been splitting wood all afternoon.
It just goes to show what listening to the radio can do to the imagination. It was a good show, too. What was it called again?
The Hour of Chills on WTRAP.
WTRAP?
Yeah, the station we were listening to. WTRAP.
But that's impossible.
What is it?
WTRAP hasn't been on the air in 30 years.
Tonight's production of the On the Air Radio Players was directed by Morgan Riley. Our production manager was Bob Dutton. Music was composed, arranged, and performed by Gray Mewborn. Our sound engineer was Devin Langston. The toothpaste jingle was written by Vicki Robbins. Additional material written by Morgan Riley. Script editing by Bob Dutton. The voice actors and sound effects artists in tonight's show were Albert Allen, Melody Armstrong, Alvin Boland, Bob Dutton, Jana Francis Fisher, Jason Morris, Juliana Mortimer, Michelle Newport, Vicki Robbins, Granville Scott, Spencer Stahlberg, Lynn Smith. The On the Air Radio Players are sponsored by the County of Henrico Division of Recreation and Parks. Join us here at the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen, March 2018, for our next live radio show, the On the Air Radio Players Present Hollywood. For the On the Air Radio Players, this is Vicki Robbins saying good night and happy listening.